The MCAT Podcast, session number 49. A collaboration between the medical school headquarters and Next Step Test Prep, the MCAT Podcast is here to make sure you have the information you need to succeed on your MCAT test day. We all know that the MCAT is one of the biggest hurdles you'll face as a pre-med, and we're here to give you the motivation and information that you need to know to help you get the score you deserve so you can one day call yourself a medical student. And welcome to the MCAT Podcast. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray, your host today, as well as the host of the Pre-Med Years Podcast, Specialty Stories Podcast, and the Old Pre-Meds Podcast. Today, we're going to continue our trend of grab bag discrete questions. So we're going to answer discrete questions from a ton of different specialty areas or topic areas, not one specific topic. So let's go ahead and dive right in. All right, Brian, back again for another grab bag of science discrete questions. Are you excited today?
Absolutely. I'm always stoked to do MCAT practice.
All right. So again, if you are new listening, go to the mcatpodcast.com/49. You can download the handout for this episode, the one that we're specifically looking at right now, going over these questions, so you can follow along with us. Ryan, why don't you start us off with 27?
Sure. Which of the following molecules would be expected to have the lowest tissue concentrations in active skeletal muscle deprived of O2? Active skeletal muscle deprived of O2. Glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate, lactate, citrate, pyruvate. So, got a metabolism question. Skeletal muscle actively working, right? But in the absence of O2, right? So we're talking about anaerobic, the kind of quick explosive muscle movement rather than, you know, sustained marathon kind of muscle movement. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted which of these things is not there would be the lowest concentration. Now, if you're not sure, right, if you're like, well, I don't get what's going on with this skeletal muscle thing, you could play a little bit of our favorite game, Ryan, which one of these is not like the other, which one doesn't belong. Mm-hmm. And if you recognized glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate, lactate, and pyruvate all have something in common, they're all parts of glycolysis, right? So glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate is kind of in the middle of the chain, pyruvate's the final step, and then pyruvate can get fermented into lactate. All anaerobic, all part of glycolysis. So the right answer then is citrate, because that's part of aerobic respiration, the Krebs cycle, mm-hmm. So or the citric acid cycle, right? If you remembered its other name, you might go, oh, wait, citrate, citric acid cycle. That's different. Let me pick that choice. And that would be the right answer, right? You'd get it right and you'd move on.
Yeah. I wouldn't have got that right, but yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Question 29, which of the following factors would be most likely to cause acetic acid to completely disassociate in aqueous solution? A, higher temperatures, which increase the pKa of the acid. B, enzymes that catalyze the forward reaction. C, continuous addition of acetic acid to the solution. Or D, continuous removal of protons from the solution.
Acetic acid. Yeah. You want to walk into the MCAT recognizing some of your classic, you know, weak acids and weak bases. And acetic acid is a classic weak acid. I mean, it's literally vinegar, right? We eat it on a regular basis. But the question then wanted it to completely dissociate, but it's a weak acid. It doesn't really dissociate very much. So we need to drive the process of dissociation forward. We need to rip those protons off the acetic acid. And when in doubt in Gen Chem, one of the big touchstones you can go back to is good old Le Chatelier, our favorite French chemist. And think about the fact that if you want to drive a reaction forward to completion, one way to do that is to remove the products. So if the acetic acid breaks apart into acetate and proton, remove the proton. So answer choice D, if you remove the proton by Le Chatelier's principle, that will cause the reaction to continue moving forward. And so answer choice D could theoretically eventually get you to complete dissociation.
Okay. Good old Le Chatelier.
Yeah, everybody's favorite.
All right. Question 47?
Sure, I guess I'm on this one. Assuming all other conditions are equal, Which of the following amino acids is expected to have the most positive charge at physiological pH? ARG, MET, ASN, or ASP? Oh, sorry, just real quick. Those are individual amino acids, and I was giving you the three-letter abbreviation, just so people don't think I'm reading off one-letter abbreviation. So again, one more time, the positive charge at physiological pH, ARG, MET, ASN, or ASP? And Ryan, we just a couple weeks back did another amino acid question, and I had to throw one more into the grab bag, and lo and behold, we pulled it out of the grab bag because, as we had said before, they're so important. Biochemistry is on two of the four sections, and amino acids is one of the foundational things in biochem. So we got to do another one here. Positive charge at physiological pH. So you would be expected to walk in knowing that that's arginine and that ARG is the three-letter abbreviation for arginine. Methionine, MET, and asparagine, ASN, are both neutral amino acids. They have a sulfur-containing group and an amide group, but they're neutral at physiological pH. And then aspartic acid, or aspartate, is a negative charge at physiological pH.
Okay. Brian, I picture you as somebody that, because of your love of amino acids or presumed love, just hearing you talk about them, I picture your decorations in your house being just lots of pictures of amino acids. No.
Well, as much as I might like to have nerdy science decorations all over my house, I think my wife would object. And would insist on putting back up her picture of an O'Keeffe painting or whatever she would prefer.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it's funny you mentioned that, in my office, in my home office where I do all my work, the walls are plastered with MCAT like mnemonic study sheets and stuff. So literally as you said that, I was looking up at my wall where I have the MCAT dates for the current calendar year, and right next to it, a study sheet with all the amino acids on it.
I knew it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you found me out.
Question 59. In which of the following societies would anomie? What's that? How do you pronounce that?
Anomie.
Anomie most likely be observed? A high school with a science and technology focus in which students who graduate are far more likely than average high school students to believe that arts funding is a waste of public money. B, a college campus on which students are required to make such extensive use of technology that the level of normal face-to-face interaction drops precipitously low, below the norm at other college campuses. C, a large corporate campus for a multinational food additive company in which upper management actively promotes certain political views and candidates, or D, a committee of military generals with high group cohesiveness that overestimates its own ability to make military planning decisions and is unwilling to consider dissent. So I have to know what anime means.
Yeah. It's a classic sociology concept, right? That when you have the anomie of society, before you could answer this, right? You'd have any one of these could represent anomie. Although one answer choice should definitely stand out to the well-prepared MCAT student as representing a different concept, if you couldn't remember anomie. So Ryan, that last one, where you have a group of people with really high cohesiveness, unwilling to kind of consider outside views, that's a classic example of groupthink, it's literally the definition of groupthink. A cohesive group unwilling to hear dissent. So even if you didn't know what anomie is, but you knew what groupthink was, you could go, oh, well, D is groupthink, let me cross that out. And then these others, I don't know. I don't know what anomie is, let me just make a guess. I always want to emphasize to students that you don't, there's this incorrect perception of like, oh, I can always get it down to two and then I get the wrong one. This like cat, this like dismissal of process of elimination, right? This idea of like, oh, well, if I only cross one or two off, then I have failed at all of life. I'm just, everything is bad. And I always say like, no, get as close as you can to the right answer. Ideally get the actual right answer. But if nothing else, cross one or two off, as opposed to just kind of casually dismissing it out of hand. Mm-hmm. Okay. So enemy, the concept there is it's a situation in which society begins to break down because the normal interactions and values of a society have started to fall apart. And it is primarily characterized by alienation and isolation. When people are feeling isolated from each other, they're feeling alienated from their larger society. So in this case, the answer choice B, the college students are using such extensive use of technology that normal face-to-face interaction drops precipitously. So by not having that direct contact with their peers, that's a society that could be expressing this idea of anomie.
Okay. So it sounds like where we're going as a society right now. With all of our phones.
Right. Yeah, there you go, right? It's every day there's another study that says, you know, social media and all these phones and all that stuff makes you unhappy and is bad for you, and we're just barreling ahead into it. But
so I want to throw in, and it's not really MCAT related, but it's kind of related to what we were just talking about. There was, and I need to find the article, but somebody who I follow online was talking about an article from the late 1800s that it was like a newspaper article, and they were saying how society was being upended and society was going to end and things were changing and it wasn't good. And do you know what they were talking about, Brian?
Novels.
No. Kaleidoscopes. Everybody in town was walking around with their face glued to their kaleidoscope, looking through it at all the fun shapes that it made. So history is just repeating itself over and over and over again with just different things.
Yeah, there you go. It's always the children these days are disrespectful of their elders, gobble their food and whatever, and it's some quote from like Aristotle or whatever.
Yep.
There you go.
All right. That's a fun non-MCAT way to end the MCAT podcast.
There you go. I will see everybody next week.
All right. There you have it. Another episode under our belt for grab bag discrete questions. If you have any thoughts of topics that you would like us to cover here on the MCAT podcast, shoot me an email, ryan@medicalschoolhq.net. Did you know that Next Step Test Prep is most known for their one-on-one tutoring, but they have an amazing new class called the MCAT class or MCAT course? You can check it out by going to nextstepmcat.com. Through that course, they have over 100 hours of videos. You get access to all 10 of their MCAT full lengths. You get access to the AAMC full lengths and materials. You get access to 5 live office hours every week talking to instructors. And all for a price much, much less than any of those other big box test prep companies out there. More information, more contact with the teachers, and for a cheaper price. Use the promo code MCATPOD, that's all capital letters, all one word, MCATPOD, M-C-A-T-P-O-D, to save even more money when you buy the MCAT class. You can use that code with tutoring and just buying the full lengths as well separately if you would like. Again, that's MCATPOD at nextstepmcat.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next time here at the MCAT podcast.